Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast, Episode 22. On this week's show, I have a brief look at my life so far, some Super Smash Bros. Brawl news from today and the previous weeks, some of my favorite video gaming news stories, Wii Virtual Console updates, a review of Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass for the Nintendo DS, a retro vision of Epcot's 25th anniversary, a few recommended links, and so much more this week on the SWABP. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of the SWABP. Back to its original format. Well, somewhat. I have changed a few things, you know, due to the fact that I had a life-changing experience at Walt Disney World not too long ago. If you listen to episode 21, you will probably, you know, laugh, cry, maybe, I don't know. It was just a little, like, reflection on what I did down there in Florida. And I had a really great time, by the way, which I hope to repeat again soon. Sometime this December, like after Christmas, of course. But anyway, let's get on with it. Let's get on with the show. First off, a brief look at my life so far. A lot of studying, a lot of homework, especially since I'm back at school. Oh, man. And, you know, I've just been really, really busy with a lot of homework, a lot of papers, and typing this, typing that, making up lesson plans, and I'm also doing a preclinical. What I mean by preclinical, that means study in elementary school. I'm not going for a medical major or anything. I don't really have the smarts for that. But I'm actually studying a fifth grade classroom, and you know, just studying what's going on, how the teacher handles problems, and you know, that kind of stuff. It's really fun. I really enjoy it. And I was trying to get the episode in a little bit earlier, but, you know, I've been doing this, I've been running around, and also my brother's getting married soon. My parents are currently in New York. They're currently in New York making arrangements and a whole bunch of other mumbo jumbo. But other than that, that's about it. I mean, I've just been doing a lot of stuff recently, and also, since I heard that Phoenix Wright 3 is coming out from the Nintendo DS soon, I'll definitely be getting a hold of that. I'm actually trying to beat Phoenix Wright 2, and I'm almost done with it, so, yeah, I had the game for a while, and I never really got around to beating it, so right now it's in my Nintendo DS with a Transformer skin on it, with Soundwave on the cover, but, you know, I've just been trying to beat the game. I'm almost done with it. Then I can go on pre-order Phoenix Wright 3 and get a little nice little stuffed Phoenix Wright figurine. It's a little pre-order bonus. I love those things. But anyway, besides that, nothing too much. Not too long ago, I also saw White Sox player Jim Tomey hit his 500th home run, which was a pretty cool experience. I got a few pictures on my cell phone. I haven't really uploaded them to my Flickr page yet, but I will soon enough, probably as soon as I'm done with making this episode. But I have seen Jim Tomey hit 500, and what a home run that was. It was actually the game-winning home run. It was unbelievable. It was so worth going to. It was amazing. Shoot, what else? Other than that, nothing. I mean, I've been playing a lot of games recently. I moved into a dorm, and you know, other than that, it was nothing. So that's just my life so far. It's just nothing but a lot of studying, typing, getting A's, getting B's, got an F once, whatever. But yeah, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I want to keep these lives so far pretty brief, because I I like talking about my life, but I don't want to go into too much detail about it. So, I mean, I've already blown off like 3 minutes of it. So, 3 minutes of the podcast just talking about my life. So, that was pretty much it. But let's get into what I really want this show to be. Really wanted the show to be in the first place, which was a video gaming show. And that's what I'm going to do. First off, I want to talk about some Super Smash Bros. Brawl news. I mean, the Smash Bros. Website has been updating daily with new information on the game, like all the new moves, the music, characters, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And, you know, chances are you probably think that the first big announcement of Smash Bros. Brawl was the addition of Solid Snake from the Metal Gear Solid series, which was completely I didn't expect it. I mean, Metal Gear Solid has always been on a PlayStation console, and the only time it has been on the GameCube was with Metal Gear Solid, the Twin Snakes, on the GameCube, which is a really great game, by the way. I reviewed it when it came out, and long story. But now, and they just announced another new unpredictable character, and I'll not get into him yet, but I want to share into some other things that make me want to buy this game. First off, it's gonna have online multiplayer, which I kind of expected because the Wii system was gonna be online compatible, unlike the GameCube. They only had like one, two games that, whatever. But I was expecting it. But you know, when I first heard about it, I was happy. I really, really want to beat some people up in Japan or China or whoever else has Super Smash Bros. Brawl, and I'm really looking forward to it. Plus, I really want to try to beat my brother in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. He is currently living in another state, and he rarely comes down here to here. So, yeah. I really want to beat him, and what better way to do it than online? Man, Roy's gotta be in the game. I just know it. Anyway, Mark's right there too. So, anyway, I digress. Next up, this might be a good thing or a bad thing. Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Here in the United States, it's going to be delayed till February 10th. I know some of you were really expecting to get this game over the holiday. In fact, I'm going to pause for a second to let you release some of that anger. So, I'll stay silent. Okay, I think I got all that out of your system, but remember, delays make great games. I mean, look at all the other games that have been delayed for a while. Most of these games were pretty good, and they've received a lot of delays, like Halo 2, Halo 3, Metroid Prime 3 Corruption. That's a great game, which I highly recommend. And yeah, I mean, delays make great games. So patience, young grasshopper. Over time, you will receive a good game. I don't know why I said that. But anyway, now on to the new character I was just about to talk about. Ahem. Sonic the Hedgehog is going to be in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Now I'll give you a few seconds to continue cheering. Okay, moment over. I somewhat expected this. I didn't expect it fully, but I am in shock that this is going to be true. One of my favorite video game characters of all time is going to try beating up Mario. And I can imagine there's got to be some sort of mission called Old Rivalry, Mario versus Sonic. Play as Mario or Sonic and beat the living crap out of each other. I'm guessing that's probably going to be one of the missions. But, you know, ever since they announced Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, which was another big shocker, I kind of expected this, but, you know, people were expecting this when Melee came out. A few years ago, when Melee first came out, Electronic Gaming Monthly, a really, really great video game magazine, they pulled one of the biggest April Fool's joke ever. If you play Super Smash Bros. Melee, and you have all the characters, you notice that there's these two blank spots right in the bottom left and bottom right corners. Some people were expecting that, are those other more characters, or they're just there? Well, EGM made the perfect prank, saying that if you destroy 20 wire characters in Cruel Melee, which is the hardest melee competition, melee mode in the entire game, you would get Sonic and Tails as secret characters, and they had screenshots to prove it. But those were just photoshopped and manipulated photos and a bunch of, you know, all sorts of technical mumbo jumbo. And they told, and then the next month issue, they said it was all a lie and we pulled fast one of you, haha. And they made a contest. If you really did it, send us a picture and we'll give you something, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, now officially hearing that Sonic the Hedgehog will be in Super Smash Bros. Brawl, oh, I'm so gonna play Sonic the Hedgehog a lot in this game, because he looks really good. He looks really, really good. I mean, he's fast, and he can punch, kick, and his final Smash attack, which would be his super special awesome finishing move, will be him turning to Super Sonic and kicking all sorts of booty. So I am really excited about it. That's about it for Brawl news. And let's move on to some of the news from the past couple weeks. Anyway, first off, Nintendo has announced that for the holiday season, the Wii will not have a price cut. It will still remain $250. Which, to be honest, is, in my opinion, is kind of understandable, because Reggie said that Nintendo Wii's will not meet demand, and if the price was cut, then the system will still be sold out anyway. But, you know, and also, still, it's the cheapest console on the market. There's really no need for a price cut compared to $400 PlayStation 3s and $400 Xbox 360s. You know, those two other systems are still double the price of Nintendo Wii. So it's understandable that Nintendo Wii's price cut will not happen yet. Nintendo will say that we will have a price cut soon, but not right now. I mean, it'll probably be another year or so that the price will go down, but that's just me. Also, Contra 4 for the Nintendo DS will not only include the Contra 4 game, but also Nintendo Entertainment System versions of the original Contra and Super C, aka Contra 2. It'll also include virtual comics, hidden characters, including Probotector, which was the UK, United Kingdom's version of Contra, and a virtual museum, all for Contra's 20th anniversary, which, hey, makes Contra even more valuable. So, you know, I'm definitely going to pre-order this game too. So right now I got 1, 2, 3 games I got to pre-order soon. I got Contra 4, Phoenix Wright, and Castlevania, and the new Castlevania PSP game, which I heard's really, really good. from E3 a few months ago. Anyway, I digress. Next up, Mario Kart from the Nintendo Wii will have get this, 12 player online racing. Wait, is that 12 players? No, it can't be. 12? How's that possible? I mean, how many, are there really gonna be 12, like, more than 12 characters in Mario Kart Wii? That's insane. Can you imagine how insane this is gonna be? I mean, if you played Mario Kart before, you know how insane races could be, especially with shells flying over the place, banana peels tripping people over, and all sorts of crazy. Can you imagine what this game is going to be like? I can't imagine how insane 12 players is going to be online. Well, some people might imagine with like games like Halo 3, but still, I can imagine how insane this is going to be. So that's really cool, and I'm actually now looking forward to it, especially since I'm going to get a free wheel with the game. Anyway, the up-and-coming game Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, the release date is actually bumped up to November 6, 2007. So, I'm actually a bit nervous, even more nervous about this game, because first off, I was nervous about this game because it's going to be Mario and Sonic's first game together, and if it goes bad, I don't think we'll ever see this duel ever again. And you know, if it's just bad, it's just gonna be bad. I mean, this is history in here. I mean, Mario and Sonic had never been in the same game together, so this is a history-making game. And it turns out bad. I can't imagine what's gonna happen. Also, it's going to be an Olympic game. Now, I have played a lot of officially licensed Olympic games. That includes Atlanta 1996, Nagano 1998, Sydney 2000. I played, and so many others. I have played a few of those games, and most of those games absolutely, completely sucked. I can't imagine how bad these games were. I mean, there was no practice mode. There was no training mode. There was nothing. It was just these games, and the controls were so difficult. They were just bad. I didn't like them at all. And, you know, I just hope that this game will actually break this officially licensed Olympic game curse and actually make one good game. So, especially with Mario and Sonic, so. Anyway, and also another thing that's making me pretty nervous is that the release date has been bumped up. And I don't know if they say that this game is ready, or maybe they're just trying to push for a holiday release. But, you know, does it feel kind of rushed? I mean, we're in the middle of October, and this game is actually coming out in early November. It's gonna be kind of weird that a game's been bumped up like this. Is this game gonna be really ready? Well, only time will tell, because I'm definitely gonna check this game out. And if it's bad, I'll definitely say to all video game companies, never bump up the release dates. Never do that. The only thing you can do is just push them back. Make us wait a little longer. Get some more time to actually perfect this game. So, yeah, right now I'm definitely getting kind of nervous about this. Anyway, one other piece of Wii news. There's a new Nintendo Wii update. It's Nintendo Wii Update 3.1. This doesn't really change too much, but it actually adds more functionality to it, because now you can use a USB keyboard with typing messages through the message boards on the Nintendo Wii. You can also type in web addresses for the internet channel, type in questions for the Everybody Votes channel, and search for games in the Wii Shop channel. I mean, it just adds more functionality to the system. Along with that, it'll also add updates to the internet channel and the Everybody Votes channel as well. So, if you haven't done it yet, upgrade now and just enjoy the functionality of a USB keyboard on your Nintendo Wii. And also, finally, the biggest news so far: Bungie Studios, the masterminds behind the Halo series, and Microsoft, the masterminds behind the Xbox 360, Windows XP, and was there another operating system? Oh, Windows Vista. Yeah, Windows Vista. That operating system. That thing. Yeah. Anyway, they broke up. I just hate when something like that happens. You know, they were so good together. They were so good together, and they decided to break up. Well, it's better to love, lost, never loved at all. I don't even know why I said that. But anyway, this means that Bungie is free to make systems for whatever they want, but they did say that they will still mostly focus on the Xbox 360, because, you know, they've been familiar with that hardware so much, and they think the Xbox 360 has more potential, but, you know, you may never know. I mean, there have been reports of Halo on the Nintendo DS, which have been proven false, but, you know, it could be possible that now that I think about it, what if Halo was on the Nintendo Wii? I wonder. Using the Wiimote to fire off the an assault rifle, or swing the energy sword to take out Covenant. Oh boy, that would be so much fun. But I digress. Anyway, let's move on with Virtual Console updates. For the past couple weeks, there have been a few surprises with the Virtual Console. First off, Nintendo is starting to sell import games for the Virtual Console. And the first two games were Sin and Punishment from the Nintendo 64 and the original Super Mario Bros. 2. That's right, I said original. The original Super Mario Bros. 2. Now you're probably wondering, wait, original? I thought we already had the original Super Mario Bros. 2. Well, guess what? I'm about to shatter your dreams. You've been playing a lie. Look this up. I can guarantee you, you're about to hear the exact same story that I am. But I'll keep it brief. The original Super Mario Bros. 2 that was released in Japan has been found too difficult by American gamers. So what Nintendo did was take a previously existing game called Doki Doki Panic and just splash Mario all over it. All over the characters, all over the story, all over everything. Hence, we got the Super Mario Bros. 2 that America has been familiar with for quite a while. And Japan has been stuck with the harder Super Mario Bros. 2, which, to be honest, is actually not bad. It's just like playing the original Super Mario Bros. Game, with the exception that the game is a lot harder. There's new levels, new items, and it's still the same game, but with a few different rules. And even you can play as Luigi, who can jump higher, but he's a little bit harder to control, so he's more for advanced players. Also, you have Sin and Punishment, which is a import cult classic for the Nintendo 64, and I haven't downloaded this game yet, but I will eventually. But to be honest, I heard it's really good, so I would recommend both these imports, Sin and Punishment and Super Mario Bros. 2, because first off, Sin and Punishment, it's an N64 game, and so far what I've heard, it's pretty good. And Super Mario Bros. 2, if you want to play the original game, I highly recommend it. But I warn you, it's a bit difficult. Oh, and by the way, here's another thing. If you have Super Mario All-Stars that was released with a Super Nintendo console not too long ago, I guess in like the mid-1990s or something like that, when you play the game Super Mario Bros. The Lost Levels, that was the real Super Mario Bros. 2. So, if you still have Super Mario All-Stars and you want a taste of the original Super Mario Bros. 2, pull it out, pop it in, play The Lost World, and you'll be playing the original Super Mario Bros. 2. Anyway, so I recommend both these games. And then this week, another big announcement is that the Virtual Console added a new console to the Virtual Console, the Neo Geo. And to start it off, they released three fighting games: World Heroes, Art of Fighting, and Fatal Fury. And these three games, I just recommend World Heroes. There are more characters, there's more game variety, plus it has that familiar Street Fighter 2 feel to it. Okay, it's pretty much the same game, except new characters, new backgrounds, and a few other options, but whatever, it's still a pretty good game. And you're probably wondering, what the heck is the Neo Geo? Well, if you ever went to the arcades and you saw this red machine that has like two or four games built into it, that's the Neo Geo. And to please the home console market, they also made a Neo Geo system with huge cartridges, a huge price tag, and a really innovative interaction between arcade machine and home console, which is that you bring a memory card to the arcade, you play the game, you take out and you save the game onto the memory card or high scores or whatever, you save it onto the memory card, you bring it back home, and you continue playing your game, or you save your high scores onto the Neo Geo. And it was a pretty inventive system. And the only thing it needs now is Metal Slug. If they have Metal Slug or Samurai Showdown, then I'll be happy with the Neo Geo coming to the Virtual Console. So, of all three Neo Geo fighting games, I would just recommend World Heroes, and I'm actually looking forward to more Neo Geo games in the future. Right now, all we need is the... man, what was that other system? Alright, it just left my mind. But, oh wait. No. But you may never know what's going to happen. Hey, we might even see Sega CD coming out with Night Trap. Even though I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But whatever. Anyway, that's about it for all the Brawl news, the news, and Virtual Console news. All this information comes from GameSpot.com, IGN.com, Kotaku.com, and Joystick.com. I'll have all the links on the show and also on the sidebar with all the other links of my MySpace page, my email, my Flickr page, and pretty much everything else. So it'll all be there on the side. And there you go. That's about it for all the news. And now, let me get on to some recommended links. My first recommended link is angryvgnerd.com, which is home to the Angry Video Game Nerd. Now, some of you may already know who this guy is, but for those who don't, the Angry Video Game Nerd is a character made by movie maker James Rolfe, and what he does is he just takes these awful video game systems and video games, and he even did a couple movies, and he just rants and raves and destroys these games, and he just tears them to pieces. It's hilarious. And all while drinking a beer. These are really well-produced videos. They have all sorts of characters. I mean, the Angry Video Game Nerd meets up with Jason, Freddy, Spider-Man, Bugs Bunny, and just recently Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And he just rants and raves on these awful games, and even a series of awful games. Like, There's one video where he does Bible games that were completely, that were just awful and unlicensed by Nintendo. He does one on the Atari 5200, the Sega CD, the 32X, and even just recently, and not too long ago, even Atari porno games, which are just bad themselves and whatever. If you want to check out all these videos, just go to angryvgnerd.com. But here's a little warning. This stuff is not for kids. I mean, he curses a lot. So, yeah, so I recommend this. I say between PG-13 and Radar audiences. Actually, I'll just recommend Radar because he does curse a lot. But other than that, he's awesome. I love his videos, and they're just funny, and they're also very informative too. But don't take his reviews too seriously. I mean, these games, their reviews are not that bad, but you know, he just points out the major flaws that makes the game unbearably annoying. But still, he does some really good stuff. I really like his work. He's also part of another big website called ScrewAttack.com. That's ScrewAttack.com. And he's part of this big network of nonstop gaming videos and radio shows, and it's a really great website, a lot of great videos, and the guys who run the website are just freaking hilarious. They pretty much do anything. I mean, like, one of the videos they just released is a PTAing contest, and whoever loses gets a punch in the nuts. Ooh, yikes. But still, these guys are awesome, and there's a lot of great videos on this website as well. I highly recommend it. And so, yeah, those are pretty much the only two links I would recommend. I don't know if I'll give any in the future, but if I find anything else, I'll definitely announce them here on the show. So check them out. You'll love them. And now it's time for a review of The Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass. First off, the story of this game takes place after The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker, so if you haven't played that game yet, I highly recommend it. It's a really fun game. But anyway, this game takes place after The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker, and it pretty much starts with Link and Tetra, who's a kind of like a female pirate and head of a really, really bad pirate crew. And on one of their voyages, Tetra has been captured by this ghost ship. And of course, Link's trying to save her, and he fails. And now he's washed up on this mysterious island, where he meets up with these three really weird characters. Celia, who kind of reminds me of Navi a little bit. Oshas, who is a really old man, who is also Celia's, I think, grandfather or something like that. He's not a fairy, but it's a really weird story behind those two. And Lionbeck, who, you know, by the looks of this picture, he can really resemble himself with Captain Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean. But anyway, that's pretty much the story in a nutshell. Link lost Tetra to a ghost ship, and now Link is trying to find the ghost ship and trying to save her. First off, what's very unique about this game is the controls. Everything, and I mean everything, is controlled with the touchscreen and the stylus. That includes movement, that includes attacking, that includes solving puzzles, that includes everything. Everything is done on the touchscreen. And the buttons, those are just used for, you know, quick, like, you know, pulling up a quick menu, like, you know, pulling up the map, pulling up the options screen, or pulling up this, pulling up that. That's all it does. Everything is done on the touchscreen. And that's what's really interesting about this. Everything is done on the touchscreen. And that's what's really interesting about this game, is that that's just it. It's all touchscreen based. And what also makes this game pretty cool is that on the top screen, when you enter a, when you're in a, when you're on an island, or at sea, or in a dungeon, the map is right above you. So there's no, there's really no need to go look around the dungeon and look for a map like in previous Zelda games. And what's really cool about this map is that when you pull it up, and you find out like a clue or a hint on what to do next, you can actually write down on your map what, like, you know, the order of the levers, or which levers to pull, or which door to go through, or which pathway should go in order to advance. I mean, it's all, like, all the answers are in the game. It's just up to you to write down reminders on what to do. And that's that was actually pretty interesting. Also, the graphics on this game are really well done. They kind of remind me a lot of the Wind Waker graphics. Yeah, of course, not that many people are big fans of the cel-shaded Link, but what are you gonna do? I mean, it's I got used to it. So, also the sound, all the effects are there. The music is fantastic. Link is still completely voiceless. Well, he was not. He did have voice once, but that was for some crappy 3D from crappy CDI games. But I'll get to that in the future. I don't really want to talk about those that much. But Link is still voiceless. There's great music, great sound. And that's pretty much it for the sound. And, you know, pretty much this game in general is all pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of fun puzzles. There's a lot. The gameplay is really well done. And it's just like playing all the other old Zelda games. I mean, you have a bird's eye view of everything. And, you know, now that I think about it, I don't think we have seen a Zelda game with a bird's eye view since the Minish Cap. That's amazing. That was released five, seven years ago, something like that. That was released a long time ago. So we haven't really seen Zelda in a bird's eye view for that long. So that's pretty interesting. The positives, like, pretty much this entire game is positive. There's a lot of great music. The graphics are awesome, a lot of fun puzzles, but there are a few downsides to this game. It's not 100% perfect. First off, the controls, they kind of need a little getting used to, but after a while you will eventually get it, but it does take a while to get used to the controls. Also, some of these puzzles are a bit too easy. I mean, ever since you can just write down what to do next, so it's a little bit easier. And it doesn't really add up to a challenge that much. It's the game is still a challenge, but not that much. And also, the trying to steer the boat itself is a bit tedious, because instead of, you know, just using the stylus to move left and move right, you have to actually chart out a course to where to go next. And this is completely inconvenient, especially for battle. I mean, when you're in battle, you have to go back to the menu, you have to try and make a way around the ship with using the stylus and try and draw a path, but it's just really, really tedious. But other than that, this is a really, really great game. Plus, it has multiplayer aspect. It has a multiplayer battle mode too, for both, you know, local DS, either with one card or multiple cards, and even you can even play this game online too. So that's another cool game. And the multiplayer game is really fun too. All you have to do is just trying to score as many. It's pretty hard to explain, but it's really fun to play. I mean, it's really fun. I definitely enjoy this game, and I'm just glad to see Legend of Zelda and Nintendo DS. I mean, first I heard by me, I heard it's really good from E3, and I was definitely looking forward to playing it. I pre-ordered this game, and it is definitely worth it. This game is definitely worth it. I mean, I love this game, and it's just so much fun to play, and it's a great, you know, it's a great little way to get you know, like, revved up for another Zelda game, which is not going to be for another while. So I think this will definitely keep you busy till the next game. But other than that, I highly recommend it. I would, out of 10, I would give this game a 9 out of 10. So I highly recommend this game if you want, like, you know, a good break from playing Twilight Princess for a while, either on Nintendo Wii or GameCube, whichever version you have. More likely you have the Wii version. Still, I highly recommend this. So if you haven't picked it up, find a copy, pick it up, and have a lot of fun. And that's pretty much it. 9 out of 10. There you go. Now, what I'm about to talk about next, this is a new segment that I want to put on the show. I'm going to call it Retrovision. This is kind of like my little reflection on things I liked in the past, and that includes, I'd say, toys, video games, movies, TV shows, you know, things, because I love stuff from the past. I mean, like, especially stuff when I was a kid. I mean, today's stuff, yeah, it's good stuff, but, you know, nothing beats, you know, talking about what you loved as a kid. I mean, I still have some of my old Nintendo games and some of my old Sega Genesis games, and instead of just talking about old video games, I like to talk about some old theme park attractions I love to go on, or, you know, just a bunch of great stuff that I loved as a kid. And I really want to reflect on this kind of stuff. I want to take some time in this show to reflect on some of this stuff. So the first thing I want to talk about as part of the first segment, first special of Retrovision. I don't know if this is going to be a recurring thing. So, but anyway, this week's Retrovision is going to be of the Epcot theme park at the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida. And the reason why is that not too long ago, on October 1st, Epcot just celebrated its 25th anniversary, and just hearing that Epcot is 25 years old, it just puts a smile on my face that my favorite park of all time has just turned 25, and I really want to reflect on, like, why I love this park so much, and, you know, why we should, like, you know, why we should celebrate its 25th anniversary. And, you know, the reason why it's my favorite park is that I love technology. I mean, anything that's technology related, I really enjoy. I mean, I like iPods. I'm talking about I have podcasts here. I just love technology. And going to Epcot and seeing all this new technology, you know, it really brings a smile to my face, because, you know, seeing all this brand new stuff and, like, all these advancements in technology, especially when you're a kid, you're going, like, when you look at all of this, you just had this feeling of, wow, this is the world that we live in now. And, you know, that it had an impact on me as a kid. I mean, like, first, the whole park itself has a really big impact on me, and it still does today. I mean, when I was down there for the Disney College Program, when I was down in Florida for the Disney College Program, the park that I visited the most was Epcot, because I just love this park so much. I mean, not only Test Track is a cool ride, and Mission Space is awesome, and Soar is awesome, but, you know, Epcot is a really, really unique theme park. And when it was first built, Disney did not just want another Disneyland. They wanted to create a park that Walt Disney wanted to do ever since he announced the Florida Project, or Walt Disney World. And he wanted to create the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow, also known as Epcot. And he wanted a theme park in it with showcasing all sorts of new technology. He wanted a permanent world showcase. And he wanted a community where people can live, work, and play together. And the Imagineers really wanted to make one of Walt's last wish come true. And, yeah, unfortunately, we don't have the community. Unfortunately, they didn't really want to make the community. But the idea of Epcot in general is still there. I mean, it's a showcase of brand new technology, like technology of the past and the present, and also has the permanent world fair in there, as well as World Showcase, where all like the major countries from around the world are represented with, you know, great restaurants, great shopping, and all sorts of like unbelievable stuff just going all over that park. And you know, it was just a really great park to go to. And yeah, sure, at first it didn't have Mickey Mouse, but you know, but still, like, it doesn't need Mickey Mouse. I mean, the park is cool in itself because you are seeing like all this great technology that, you know, that is either in development or is now available or will be available in the future. And you know, it's just a really cool theme park to go to. And I'm really happy that it's 25 years old. And you know, and also my family, we always have great memories in that park. And like with meeting with Figment and my brother, he really loves Figment. And it was, you know, first off, when we heard that Figment was gone, you know, it really broke all of our hearts even. And when we brought him back, we were happy that he was back. But anyway, it was such a really good park to go to. And it still amazes me today that, you know, this the world that we live in, I mean, we're like all this technology that we're seeing now in this park, and it's just really amazing to go to. But and also Epcot has all these great attractions. The fireworks are amazing, and Spaceship Earth is still today one of my all-time favorite attractions. And you know, I'm just hoping that the refurbishment that they're doing right now is gonna make Spaceship Earth so much better. I mean, I've seen the new pavilion that's currently going up, and I really love it. It's a really great pavilion. And Innoventions, great place to not only just get out of the rain, but also to see all the technology that we have today. Test Track, great attraction, very fast. But anyway, but actually, you know what? Seeing all this, like all this new stuff, is really wanted me to reflect on what Epcot was like in the past. I mean, Journey to Imagination was definitely the best attraction there. The original one with Dreamfinder and Figment, it was the best. I mean, it was magical. It was funny. It's like all these colors, and you know, it was a really great attraction. The original Living Seas was pretty cool because it actually feels like they're actually going underwater to Sea Base Alpha, seeing all these dolphins and manatees and all these fish and learning about everything. World of Motion was a really cool attraction with a funny look and transportation. Horizons was pretty fun to go on because you get to see what a really not very accurate prediction what the future is going to be like, but you know, but the motto of it was, if you can dream it, you can do it, and Horizons really reflected on that. The Wonders of Life, which is currently gone, which I'm really, really, really upset about. I mean, it was a really great pavilion with, like, you know, worrying about the human body and our senses, and Body Wars was fantastic. Universe of Energy, you know, has dinosaurs. I mean, come on. But the technology with some of these attractions, especially with Universe of Energy, is really amazing. I mean, Universe of Energy is run by solar power, for crying out loud. Solar power. I mean, not that many attractions do that. World Showcase, I almost forgot about the land. The land is also pretty cool, too. I mean, you get to learn, like, you know, you get to see all this, like, yeah, sure, it's a boat ride through a farm, but near the end, you get to see, like, all these upcoming advancements with learning how to grow plants, you know, without soil, or, you know, how they can grow plants in space, and it's just all really cool, to look at, and, you know, and also Food Rocks, man, that was a really cool show. But anyway, Out of Future World into World Showcase. World Showcase is just a really, really great place to go to. I mean, all the countries are represented. You can just talk to any one of the people from Mexico or Japan, talk about their culture, and learn more about their culture either through the cast members or through like the rides or the videos that they have. And it's just really cool, especially at night with illuminations, which is a really, really cool fireworks show. But anyway, Epcot itself is an amazing park, and I'm glad it's 25 years old, and I'm just hoping that in the future it's just going to get better. And especially with new technology, they're going to be showcasing all this. Hopefully with interventions, they're going to update it constantly and see like what's in the future for us. Like, are we ever going to have the flying car, or are cars going to be driven on hydrogen or whatever? I'm just really glad that Epcot's 25, and you know, also it's, and also I'm really glad that Disney's really looking, like, you know, really trying to bring this park back to what it was back in, you know, back when it first opened, which was just a showcase of brand new technology. I'm really happy that Disney is actually considering it, or even better, you know, actually doing something about it, because Epcot in the 80s, it was awesome. I mean, the rides were fantastic, and, you know, it's just a really fun park to go to. I just gotta say this out loud, and like I said, I'm really happy it's 25. Here's the 25 more years, Epcot, and if you want to experience Epcot for yourself, just grab a plane ticket, head on down to Orlando, check out the park. You will not be disappointed. I mean, I love the park very much, and I love, like, you know, I love bringing a new person down there and talking about it, talking about the history of the attraction, going on these attractions. And also, while you're down there, go to Club Cool. It's right, you know, when you enter Future World, it's to the right, right by Interventions. And try the Beverly. It's the best. Try the Beverly there. It's awesome. But anyway, I'm really glad that Epcot's 25 years old. And also, if my words do not satisfy you saying that, oh, Epcot's just 25 years old, there's another podcast that you should listen to, run by another big Disney fan. It's called The Meandering Mouse, starring Jeff from Houston. And there was this one episode where where it's just nonstop talking about Epcot in 25 years. And, you know, he just does a really great show. And, you know, just hearing that a park, any Disney park, is 25 years old is really a great achievement, because, you know, all of these Disney theme parks have at least some impact on not only the company, but also the entire resort as well, because Epcot itself, this was the second theme park of Walt Disney World, and because of Epcot, the Walt Disney World Resort is not just three hotels, a campground, a water park, and golf courses, and a theme park, and a Magic Kingdom. Now it's a full-fledged resort. I mean, Epcot was just the beginning, and from Epcot comes all these other great hotels, Downtown Disney, Disney MGM Studios, soon to be the Disney Hollywood Studios, and Disney's Animal Kingdom, all this stuff. And because of Epcot, now the Walt Disney World Resort is a huge vacation area. I mean, it's amazing that a second theme park can lead to two more theme parks, about, I say, 10 more resort hotels, and a downtown area, and a sports complex, and all this other stuff. And I'm just really happy for Epcot. So, and I can't wait to go back down there and, you know, really celebrate its 25th anniversary. And, you know, I'm just really happy for it. I just gotta say that. So, that's pretty much it for my ramblings on Epcot. I just love the park so much. And if you want to hear more about Epcot's 25th anniversary, there's a lot of Disney podcasts out there that loves to honor Epcot on its 25th anniversary. Trapped on Vacation, they did a live recording of the press conference and the ceremony. Jeff from Meandering Mouse, he does a great episode on the 25th anniversary. Inside the Magic does a 25th anniversary show. And just go into iTunes, search a Disney podcast, and just look, and you know, you'll definitely find at least one that has an Epcot 25th anniversary show on it. So I'm just really happy. So anyway, and in general, happy birthday, Epcot. And also remember, when it comes to technology today, just remember, we've just begun to dream. And that does it for the first episode of Retrovision. I hope you all enjoyed it. And that's about it for... Actually, yeah, I guess about that's about it for the show. I hope you all enjoyed this week's edition of the SWABP. I do apologize for the huge delay between episodes. But if you want more information on this episode, just visit my blog at swabp.blogspot.com. And you can check out the links, you can check out my MySpace page, and you can check out so much other stuff. You can check out past shows. There's a lot of stuff on it. Check it out. And next time, probably the week after next, right now I'm going back to the bi-weekly schedule, so possibly the week after next. It all depends on what news is going to bring to me, all depends on what game I'm going to play. You know, I can't predict the next episode, if you want more information, swabp.blogspot.com, and if you want to email me, just email me at silverwolf2006@gmail.com, and I'll reply to your email on this show. Other than that, I hope you all have a great weekend, have a great week, and I'll see you next time here on the SWABP. See ya! Music from this show is provided by the PodSafe Music Network, www.music.podshow.com. News stories provided by GameSpot.com, IGN.com, Kotaku.com, and Joystick.com. Please visit swabp.blogspot.com for more information on this episode, links, and podcaster contact information. This has been Silverwolf Audio Blog Podcast, episode 22.